So today is the feast of the Epiphany, the appearance, which is considerably older than Christmas, and is going to take a little talking to get to the point of what this is all about. On Christmas Day, of course, we had the infancy narrative of Luke, where Luke, and we understand that all of the Gospels are written from a particular perspective to make a particular point. So Luke wanted to say that God emptied himself and took the form of a poor person, or the human being, better, to put it more accurately. Jesus took the status of the poorest of the poor. Okay, and that laid out his whole vision of the gospel and what the Christian life was supposed to be about. Matthew had a whole different set of problems, because when Matthew was writing, and from where he was writing, there's still this big brawl among the Jews. Who was a real Jew and who was not a real Jew? So Matthew constructs this little story about Herod, the king of the Jews, who is a hypocrite. Please note. Herod says, oh, let me go see the kid too. I'm all interested in this. And of course, that's the theme that goes through all of Matthew's gospel. Jesus in Matthew's gospel is the only one that calls the Jews, the Pharisees, hypocrites. What he's trying to do, of course, is to lay out his plan that the non-Jesus Jews were not real Jews. So just as Luke had his thing with the poverty, that the world being brought together, if the poor are included, so Matthew is going to the classic Jewish notion that the whole point of the Jews was to be the light of revelation to the Gentiles. Which is why precisely we get these pagans brought into the birth narrative. I mean, there weren't three kings. That's beside the point. What we're talking about is the faith of the people who wrote these texts. So today is the feast of the manifestation of God's intention. And Matthew sees God's intention as a classic Jewish point of view, namely, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed by Judaism, because that's what it's all about. The promise made to Abraham, through you all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed and be going to be unified. So he sets this whole thing up in that context. Okay, in the abstract, I understand. That makes perfect good sense. Yeah, we got these pagans coming in, blah, 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 blah. But what really is supposed to be going on here? I mean, existentially, what is really going on here? Why would all the nations of the earth be blessed by Judaism? What's the nub of this thing? What's the heart of this thing? They're not going to be blessed by Judaism by God saying, listen, you all get together now. It's not going to be the result of some divine command. Rather, it's going to be the style of Jesus' own life, which is going to move people. Jesus' radical openness to everybody. Jesus' non-exclusive view of the world. In other words, the Jews believed, and we say we believe, that it's precisely the appeal to the deepest yearnings of the human heart, of our hearts, that we human beings are not supposed to stand in opposition to each other. We're not supposed to exclude each other. But rather, we're supposed to welcome everybody. That's the crucial word, everybody. Today is particularly grotesque to be talking about this stuff when we know what's going on in Gaza. 100 Palestinians dead for every dead Jew. Congo, Somalia. The list is fairly sizable. I mean, those are just overt wars going on. So what we want to say is that ultimately human beings are supposed to stand in non-oppressive relationships with each other. Everybody! And this is the killer. This is the killer. I'm all ready to get my buds and me, you know, armed and fortified against all other comers. But no. That's not the point. That's not the point. And this raises all kinds of terrific problems, I think, for the church. So the church, this is, I think, the critical question that Epiphany raises for us. Does the church stand in the world, first of all, primarily, as welcoming all comers? All comers. Is that what we symbolize? That there are no left outs on any grounds. Race, language, color, gender, sexual orientation. The standard oppositions that we set up, we human beings set up. But this is exactly what the manifestation is. Now we have this new thing in the world where God is, we believe that in this child, God is welcoming everybody. And there are all kinds of other interesting things involved, too. It's a baby. The beauty of this notion of all this stuff happening with a baby, nobody can be afraid of a baby. A baby essentially creates a fear-free environment. So you don't have to check yourself out to be present to a baby. And a poor baby at that, to elide the Lucan and the Matthean version, I think. So this is tough stuff. You know, I tried to get my head around this in any real way, and tried to think of where in my life the church, or for that matter anybody, has really manifested itself in this universally welcoming environment. And it doesn't happen very often, I don't think. But what the Feast of the Epiphany does offer us is a criterion whereby we can assess, are we doing it or are we not doing it? Are we universally welcoming or are we not? Because even before we can say, you got to clean up your act, if you don't love the people that whose act you want to clean up, it's never going to happen, folks. It's never going to happen. Whether we're talking about our own relationships in this little group here in London, Ontario, or wherever. But that's what Epiphany says. It is a challenge to us to examine who we are, how we are in the world. And it is I think it is an invocation to what really do we want in life? I suggested a couple of minutes ago that the Feast of the Epiphany makes sense because it appeals to what is most profound in our hearts. That's what we want ourselves to be and what we want our lives to be. I think it is true. And we'd like to live in a fear-free environment with everybody else. So it's tough business, this notion of the manifestation of God. This is where God becomes apparent, huh? That's what Epiphany means. This is where God becomes apparent, where there is this fear-free environment somehow created. In ourselves and between ourselves and certainly among the nations of the world. It looks pretty unrealistic, I think, for most of the time, for the most part. But that's what we say we believe. It's really what we say ultimately we believe.